Amen. Good morning again. I love this song. This is another one that I learned down in Mexico. Beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. We started last week talking, and we talked a lot about God's love. It was a blessing to me. Looking at mankind's purpose from God's perspective, what He created us for, and the love that He's lavished out on us, not only in creation, but ever since then. I'm going to recap just a little bit of that this morning, and then we're going to look at our side of mankind's purpose from our side. But let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. Lord, truly this morning my heart cries out to you. You are beautiful beyond description, and I stand in awe of you. Lord, this morning as we open your word and we look into it, I pray that you would help us to see and to understand wondrous things out of your law. Lord, that you would help us to see and be challenged and reminded of our purpose for being alive. Lord, that we would pursue it with our whole hearts, with everything that we do, with everything we don't do, with the way that we choose to live our lives and the choices that we make. I pray, Lord, as we open your word, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a couple of verses, a couple of sections of verses last week that I didn't manage to get to. We were already at about 45, 46 minutes. But I want to start by hitting just a couple verses from God's perspective to kind of recap in our mind God's purpose. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man," speaking of himself, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus gave a statement of his own personal purpose here on earth. And in a nutshell, he says his purpose is to seek and to save that which was lost. God's purpose in sending Jesus Christ was the same purpose as Jesus' purpose in coming. It was to seek and to save that which was lost. We talked last week about how God created us to enjoy fellowship and friendship with Him. That was His purpose in making us. That is His desire, and it has been His desire since the moment of creation, all the way down through. We looked at how God's heart is to respond to those who seek Him. That's His nature. That's who He is. That's what He does. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is actively seeking human beings to worship Him, to be in communion with Him. If you were to put all the things that God does in relation to mankind, boil it down into one phrase, into one idea, you would have to say that God is seeking people. Seeking those who will be friends with Him, those who will worship Him, those who are lost, but by His grace and power can be found. Verse 24, he says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So now I want to look at mankind's purpose a little bit more from our side. And this, again, we're going to begin by looking at God desires to be sought. God desires for us to seek Him. He's seeking us. He's been seeking us since that first day in the garden when God's walking through the cool of the day and He's seeking for Adam and Eve and calls out, "Adam, where are you?" God wasn't asking Adam where he was because God didn't know where Adam was. God knew exactly where Adam was. But God was seeking after Adam. God was seeking after a soul who was in trouble. And He still is today. God not only seeks us, but God desires for us to seek Him. God desires to be sought by us. Luke chapter 11 is where we're going to begin with this. Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, He says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." This is very clearly Christ is setting forth and laying out, hey, God's not trying to keep things from you. God's waiting for you to seek Him so that you can find. God's waiting for you to ask so you can receive His blessings, His presence, His goodness. God's waiting for you to knock so He can open those doors for you. We see clearly here that God is not holding tightly onto these things saying, "Well, if you can manage somehow by some supernatural, superhuman means to gain my affection and my approval, I'll consider maybe making an exception for you, even though I don't really like to make myself known to humanity." No, God's saying, "I'm here. I'm waiting. The door's open. It's available. All you have to do is knock, and I'll open the door. All you have to do is seek, and you will find. All you have to do is ask, and it will be given to you." Because God is waiting for that. God is waiting for souls to seek Him. And I'm not speaking about things. I'm not speaking a prosperity gospel here. I'm speaking about the presence of God. I'm speaking about spiritual riches and blessings that are unimaginable to the natural human mind. But we see clearly Jesus is laying out and setting forth, God's not trying to hold this stuff back from you. He says in one place, He says, it's your sins and your iniquities that have separated you from God. It's not God who separated Himself from us. It's us who have separated ourselves from God. It's our sin, our iniquities. Jesus says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then He gives an analogy. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If your son comes up to you and says, "Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? Can I have some bread?" "Oh, sure, here you go, son, chew on that." Hands you a stone. That's not a very good father, is it? That's not a very loving father. If he does it as a joke, it might be kind of funny once, but then you're going to say, "I'm serious, can I really have some bread? I'm kind of hungry." He says, going on here, he says, or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Is he going to go, "Oh, you want a fish? Here, have this snake," and start shoving a snake in your face? No. He says, or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Scorpion's a type of a stinging spider, basically. These questions, he doesn't give an answer. They're rhetorical questions. Obviously not. A father's not going to do this. So then in verse 13 he says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" If your little boy comes to you and says, "Dad, I'm hungry," and asks for food, and you're going to give him food because you're a good father, you love him, you're going to give him food. He says, even more, how much more will God the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If we are hungry and we ask our Father, "God, I'm hungry for your presence. I'm hungry for your Spirit. I'm hungry for spiritual nourishment." God says, "How much more will I give you all those things that you need than what you would, of course, obviously, give the things that are needed to your children when they ask you?" How much more? It's far more likely that God's going to give His gifts to those who seek Him than even that a father would give those things to his child. God desires for us to seek Him. He's waiting, ready, willing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33, Jesus says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God's not stingy with His blessings, but His desire and His purpose in our life is for us to seek Him. Many times when God allows physical wants and needs in our life, it's to drive us to seek Him. He knows what we need. He didn't forget about what you need. But He wants you, above all things, to seek Him. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." I often think either you'll get what you think you need, or you'll realize you don't need it and you don't care anymore, right? Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7, he says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him." He will. It's in His nature. "And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." This is God's nature. This is who He is. You don't have to wonder, is it going to be worth it? If I go seek the Lord, am I actually going to find Him? Does He actually want me to find Him? He states again and again and again throughout Scripture, "Seek the Lord, call upon Him, and He will be found." He's waiting to be found. He wants to be found of those that seek Him. "Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him." We talked briefly about the prodigal son last week, who came back to his father. And that father, there wasn't a moment of hesitation in that mercy being extended, that forgiveness freely being given. All that father was waiting for was that son to turn around and come home. He will have mercy upon him, and He will abundantly pardon. This is God's nature. This is what He's waiting for. This is what He created us for, to have fellowship with Him. His heart's never stopped desiring that. Only ours has. Only ours does. We grow so cold, so distant. It's so easy for us to become absorbed by the cares of this world, by all the things we have to do and all the places we have to go and all the money and the trying to get ahead and pay the bills. And, you know, some people get wrapped up in fame and in reputation. We all have different temptations, but God's heart has never changed. God's heart has always desired to have friendship with us. Has always desired that fellowship, even though ours often doesn't. Even though we get distracted, even though we forget, even though we wander off and do our own thing, as Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14. The first verse of this section gets quoted very often, but not the rest of it very often. But Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. I know how I feel about you. I know what I think about you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12, he says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Not I might, not we'll see. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll think about it. No, God's giving a promise here. He says, come and call upon me, and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. That means I'll listen. I'll turn my ear that way and go, yes, my child, what do you need? I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. You shall find me. It's a promise. When you seek after God with your whole heart, you have verse after verse after verse throughout the Old and New Testament of God saying, I will be found of you if you seek me. You're not going to waste your time praying to a brass heaven, knocking on a door that nobody ever comes to answer. If you seek Him, you will find Him if you seek for Him with your whole heart. It's a promise. Repeat it again and again. Verse 14, he says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will be found of you. I'll make sure that if you're actually genuinely seeking me, I'll make sure you find me. I will be found of you. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. It's promises. This isn't possibilities. This is God Almighty giving His Word to every heart who will seek Him. You will find. You will find if you seek me with your whole heart. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 through 26, he says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. God is good to the soul that seeks Him and waits for Him. He says in verse 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. How can you hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord? Because He's promised again and again and again that it will come. He will be found of the heart that seeks Him. He will answer the heart that calls out to Him. So you can hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, knowing it will come. It's absolute, 100% guaranteed by God Himself, who cannot lie, who cannot change. Hebrews tells us, God Himself, we know, cannot change and He cannot lie. But yet, on top of that, on top of what we already know of His character, He goes ahead and makes promises and swears by Himself because He wants us to know, absolutely certain, without the shadow of a doubt, that what He says will be true. And He says so that those who trust Him can have a sure hope and a sure foundation that doesn't move. God's not trying to pull a fast one on us. He's not trying to fool us. He's waiting. Arms extended, promises already given and put forward. If you will seek me, I will be found. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4, he says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to Thy name. The psalmist here is talking about how desperately he desires more of God, how much he longs and thirsts after God's presence, after His glory, after His goodness. His loving kindness is better than life. And in confidence, knowing God will respond to that kind of a heart, he says, I will praise You and I'll bless You as long as I live and I'll lift up my hands to Your name. I don't even have to have already fully seen the answer arrive. I know it's coming because God said it will if I seek Him. It will. Psalm 27, verse 7 through 14, he says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When Thou saidest, Seek my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is the proper response that every one of our hearts should have. When God says, Seek my face. Yours and my heart response immediately should be, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted. I couldn't have kept on. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. This isn't normal in our flesh. This doesn't come naturally to us. Our natural inclination is to either say, be skeptical, not believe that God really wants to give us His presence and His blessings, not believe that anyone could really love us that much, not believe that God really wants to forgive us, or to start down this path and give up before the answer comes, to go, oh, yes, God, I'd love to have free salvation and for all of eternity. That's great. I'll take that. And then the next day, we forget about it. We go on with life. We go, oh, well, whatever. I didn't get it, but it's no big deal. Wait for Him. Seek after Him. It's not natural and normal for humanity, but it is our purpose for existence to seek the Lord God Almighty. Paul, speaking in Philippians, just makes a passing comment about this one young man. He says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ." That's the status quo. That's the normal. Everyone's looking out for themselves. Everyone's worried about what I'm going to get and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do and how it's going to work for me. He says, that's how it normally goes. That's the natural course of things. But this young man in particular, he says, it's different. This young man cared for these people and loved them. This young man sought the Lord. He didn't seek his own. He sought Christ's own. Colossians chapter 3 gives us a challenge and a call. If you name the name of Christ, this is a challenge and a call to you and to me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ," are you risen with Christ? Are you a believer? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? If you are, this is the command and the challenge to you. Seek those things which are above. Seek them. It's not just automatically going to happen in your life. Well, I prayed a prayer once, and so now it's automatically just going to happen in my life. No, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It's interesting. He doesn't say, as well as the things on the earth. He says, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above, on God, on eternity, on heaven, on His presence, on His goodness, on forgiveness, on walking in righteousness as He does. Verse 3, he says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore the deeds, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." It's not going to automatically happen. But if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. There's several action words here. Seek, set, mortify. I think those are the only three. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things that are above. And mortify, that means put to death, the things that grab and pull and tug at you here on earth. The wickedness, your natural inclination. Seek those things which are above. We have two beautiful examples of men of God who stand out, maybe head and shoulders, in this particular category. David, in particular. In verse 27, one of my favorite, Psalm 27, one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Psalm 27, verse 4 through 5, David says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. Not five, not two, one thing. This is the only thing I care about. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I'm making this my life purpose, my one life purpose that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. This is my one purpose in life. I want to be in God's presence. I want to be in God's presence. I want to be friends with Him. I want to know Him intimately. I don't want to ever have to leave. This is the one thing I'm seeking after with all my heart. Because my one purpose in life is I want to be in the presence of God. Not once. Not even once a day. He said, I want to live there. I don't ever want to leave again. I want to stay in the presence of God all the days of my life. This is my purpose, and it's what I will seek after. I'm not going to get it perfect. I'm going to fail and I'm going to make mistakes. But I'm going to continue to seek it. I'm going to continue to long for it and strive for it and seek after this fellowship, this friendship, the presence of God, uninterrupted. David believed with all his heart that it was worth it. And he was right. The other man who I want to look at, who exemplified this so beautifully, is the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 15, we get a glimpse into his life purpose. We get a glimpse into what drove him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 17, he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Do you hear that terminology? Be found in Him. Listen to the closeness of friendship and fellowship. I don't want to be near Him. I don't want to be friends with Him. I want to be found in Him. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here again, a restatement of His purpose, that I may know Him. If you took the purpose, everything that Paul did in his life from the day of salvation till his death, and boiled it down to one phrase, it would be this, that I may know Him. That's why I'm alive. That's my purpose. That's my one driving goal that causes me to make all the decisions that I make, either to do things or to not do things, or to love certain things or to not love certain things. The purpose of my life that drives everything else in my life is that I may know Him. That is the purpose that mankind was created for. To know God. Not just know about Him, but to know Him intimately, as a friend, as a lover, as a companion, be found in him. Paul goes on, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Paul's like, I'm not doing this perfectly. It's not like I'm fulfilling my own life purpose perfectly yet. But, he says, not, in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after him. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also, I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is my one purpose. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If your purpose and your goal is this, that I press after Christ, this one thing I do, forgetting those things behind, I reach forward to the things that are before and I press towards the mark. He says, if anything else is out of place, God will reveal it to you. It'll all get fixed. It's all going to work out and come to light and be made clear if your purpose and your desire is to follow God with all of your life, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, mind, and strength. That was the first commandment given all the way back in the Old Testament. The very first commandment that God gave to Moses when he was giving him the commandments for how God wanted his people to live was, first of all, above everything else, I want you to know me. Seek me, love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the first. And Jesus said, and the greatest commandment. That is our purpose for being created. That is our purpose for existence and for life. To love God. To seek Him. To know Him intimately. Let's pray. Father, you know better even than I how far short of this I fall myself every day and every one of us. But God, help our passion, our desire, and our purpose, and our teeth, grit, determination to be that of Paul, that I will follow after Christ with all my heart. I will love Him. I will seek Him. I will pursue Him. That's my one purpose. Make this true, I pray, in every heart here for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.